Well, I enjoyed being here yesterday, enjoyed listening to the sermons that were given yesterday, and thoroughly enjoyed participating in the ordination of Brother Kenneth. I couldn't help but think that it wasn't long ago that me and Kenneth were over in Smithville at a house crawling through mud puddles with PVC guns chasing each other. And that's all I could think about yesterday when we were sitting up here, that we've grown up and come a long way. This morning I'd like to deal with a passage of Scripture in a book that to me is kind of hard to understand from time to time. But there are passages hidden away in this book that are really priceless. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. And I desire an interest in your prayers this morning, that the Lord would give me liberty and free course, that the thoughts that I have in my mind would come together, because right now they're kind of jumbled. And so we pray that the Lord would give me liberty and the Lord would give you understanding and receptive hearts. Ezekiel is a unique book. Like Daniel, it's written in captivity. A lot's gone on. They're kind of cousins with, I would call them cousins with Jeremiah. It's kind of the same themes, and Isaiah kind of run through the same things, and there's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of upheaval. There's some different things going on. And the Lord is remaining faithful to these rebellious people. And he continues to send his word. Matter of fact, chapter 33 of Ezekiel is a wonderful passage of Scripture. I'd recommend that you go home this evening and read it. It talks about how the messengers are to warn the people. And those that don't warn, the Lord requires it of them. And then he turns right back around and deals with the hearers, how the hearers have a responsibility to hear. I want to speak to you this morning on fat shepherds, fearful sheep, and a faithful God. We read in chapter 34, beginning in verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord." What a sad condition the nation of Israel is found in. That those that were given the charge of overseeing God's precious flock, have turned that responsibility into a way to increase their own selves. And because they have used this position of leadership to increase their own selves, the flock of God was the one that paid the price. Israel is now in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and Belteshazzar, these wicked kings. Because instead of taking the truth that God had given them to lead and to guard His sheep with, they failed to deliver the message, and instead they were taking Israel's money and just allowing them to go out and be devoured by the beast of the field. I believe that's speaking of the world. That beast of the field is what comes and snatches the sheep up and they run away with them. I believe it was idolatry, these nations that Joshua failed to drive out. They had come in and began to deliver their way of worship, and Israel just took it and began to incorporate it. They said, we can worship Baal and we can worship God. We can think like the world and we can embrace Christianity. And while they had this mindset, there was no correction. These shepherds were like, well, we just want your money. Come and pay tithe to the temple. We don't care if you worship Baal. You can pay tithe in both places. You can worship here on Saturday and go there Sunday. It doesn't matter. And so the temple became empty and God's wrath became full. And the end result was deliverance into the hands of the enemy for punishment. All because of fat shepherds. Listen to what God says to these shepherds. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. The Lord God loves His flock with an eternal, boundless, infinite love. And those that He has put in the position to lead and guide, when they make offenses against His flock, He becomes jealous. You know, I greatly fear being in this predicament. For God to look at me and say, you've robbed my sheep. You haven't done what I've commanded you to do. And now I require. That's a scary place to be. This passage says that there were no shepherds. And you know, that's true at this point because the shepherds that were shepherds were not really shepherds. But you know, Israel had been blessed with a number of good shepherds down through their ages. Moses was a fantastic example. Joshua, David. But you know, every single one of them missed the boat at some point. See, God's flock needs a good shepherd. Something not placed in the hands of depraved humanity. They were good examples. But we as God's flock, we need the best example. In John chapter 10, Jesus says in verse 5, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Listen in verse 8, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them." Verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Jesus tells us that those in this time period, that's who I believe he's alluding to, not to Moses, not to Joshua, but to these shepherds. He's alluding to these who have come before. They were thieves. They were robbers. They were pretenders. They came but to rob the flock. And when they came, the sheep scattered. So at this point, we have fat shepherds who have filled themselves with profit from the sheep. And we have weak, fearful sheep who are all alone in this wilderness, surrounded by darkness, with no one to comfort, no one to give strength. They are broken, they are sick, they are diseased, they're in a pitiful condition. And there is no one to minister to their wounds. There's no one to bring them back into a central fold. There's no care. But listen to what God says in verse 11. "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." What man failed to do, what man could not do, God was willing and able to do. Aren't you thankful this morning that when you are alone and driven in the coldness of the world, that you're not going to be there long? That God has provided a shepherd that is both willing and able to find you. That He comes personally to seek you out. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. And being the great shepherd, He is the shepherd that we are to follow His example. Far too often things come into the church and they cause the sheep to flee. And the sheep are found alone and confused in a world. They become plagued with the disease of worldliness. They become sick with carnal mindedness. They become broken. The question I pose this morning, are we following the example of the Good Shepherd? Are we searching and seeking them out? Yesterday, we ordained a deacon. I believe that it is the solemn duty of a deacon when something comes into the church and begins to scatter the flock, that it is both the pastor and the deacon's responsibility, as every other member of the church, no one excluded, to go find them. Far too often, we let it ride. Well, the pastor will handle it. They've been gone for church for 8 months. The pastor can go and talk to them. We're a family. I guarantee you that if your brother just all of a sudden left your family, no phone calls, no visits, you wouldn't wait for daddy to call up and ask why. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and He seeks out. And we, as individuals who make it our goal in life to imitate His lifestyle, we should do the same. But listen to the promises that Jesus gives here. Or God, rather, in verse 14, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. When a flock lies down, you know what that signifies? They feel safe. If you've been around sheep or any type of animal, cows, they will not lay down where there's a threat. If they feel that they're going to be in danger, they will refuse to lie down. God says, my flock's been fearful, my flock's been scattered, my flock's been starved by these people who call themselves shepherds. I will seek them out. I will feed them. I will cause them to lie down in safety. And a couple of hundred years after this prophecy is given, on a starry night in Bethlehem, God came through with that promise. And the Good Shepherd came and He sought out His sheep. He sought out His sheep. And the Good Shepherd gave His life. In John chapter 10, it says that the hirelings, when trouble comes, they flee and leave the flock because they're hirelings and they have no personal attachment. They feel no personal loss. But when the Good Shepherd came, He was coming to find His flock, and He will not flee. He went to the cross to give His life for you and I. As fearful sheep. You ever been and felt like a fearful sheep? I'll confess it this morning. I'm always a fearful sheep. Far too often I find myself confused. It's easy to get confused, isn't it? It's easy to get the weight of the world on you and you don't know which way to go. You need someone to come and to seek you out, show you the way, bring you back in, surround you with love, make you feel safe. Aren't you thankful we have that? And when Christ gave himself as a sacrifice on the cross, he established the church. And this is where the flock comes to listen to what the good shepherd has to give. This is the fat pasture that God has provided. This is where we come to lay down in safety. And when those flee from the safety of the pasture that God has provided, we need to go. Bring them back. Be God's instruments. Verse 23, "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd." Verse 25, "And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods." You know, while we live here, we live in a wilderness. But we can rest because we've got an ever watchful, ever attentive master shepherd. For us as those that tend the sheep, as pastors, may we read this passage of Scripture and may the fear be renewed. You know, I think as I look around at many TV evangelists and many of other churches, you know what I see? An absence of fear. I see people playing with God's sheep, and they're not worried. And God will require it. As sheep, let this passage remind us that we have a good shepherd. And when we find ourselves scattered, confused, let us call, because he will hear our voice. He will answer, and he will deliver. Verse 31, And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Thank you for your kind attention.
Stand and sing a couple of verses, first and last verse, 146. I'll